Where are we going back to?
Yes, have you had your second vaccine?
Yes, Baruch Hashem.
And how are you feeling?
Fine, yeah, no, just a slight pain in the arm, that's all.
Eliyahu David, you've had your second?
Yes, same thing, slight pain in the psoas for a couple of days, but it's gone, I'm fine.
No, that's it. Anybody else? Rosh Hashanah, you've had your second?
Tonight, please, Hashem.
Tonight. Okay.
I asked Dr. Nir, I've been davening in the capsule, the old man's capsule on the right-hand side of the base medrash, and I asked Dr. Dinner Friday night if after 10 days I can move over to the center of the shul on Shabbat.
Let's go from the bottom of Yud Tes Omed Aleph. The bottom of Yud Tes Omed Aleph, towards the bottom, can you see where it says, first word on the line is Lemilsa?
The last word on the line?
First word on the line is Lemilsa. Then it says, Noisei Hamita V'chim Fehen.
Okay, I have it.
Noisei Hamita V'chim Fehen, says the Gemara. We'll do this quite quickly, hopefully not too quickly. Tana Rabbanon. Ein Moitzin Es Hameis Samach L'Kriya Shemai. You should not take out the dead body, meaning do not begin the Levaya close to the Zman of Kriya Shema, meaning close to the Zman of the end of Kriya Shema. But the Im Hischilu Eim Afsikin. But if you started, then you may continue. Says the Gemara, Eini, is that so? V'har of Acha Afkuhu Samach L'Kriya Shema. But Rav Acha, they took him out at his own levaya, Samach L'Kriya Shema. Odom Choshuv, shiny. And Odom Choshuv is different, and therefore, even though it would mean that perhaps people wouldn't say Kriya Shema as a result, but we couldn't possibly leave an Odom Choshuv to be unburied for any length of time. Shelefnei Amito v'shela Acha Amito, we distinguish between those who have not yet carried the coffin, between those who will. Tana Rabbanan, ho'oiskin behesped. Those who are oisak in the hesped, bizman shahameis mutal lefneim, if the dead body is lying there in front of them, nishmotim echad echad, then they don't all need to be in attendance, therefore they could slip out one by one. The kairin, and they can recite Kriya Shema. You can't obviously have the whole crowd disappearing, so one by one. But if Eina meis muta lefneim, then him yoishvim b'koirim. So then indeed they can say Kriya Shema. It's not a bezoyin to the mace is not there. But v'hu yoishev v'doimim. But he is yoishev v'doimim. He remains silent. That is the avoida of the oval. Heim oimdim u'mispalalim. They stand up to daven. V'hu oimed u'matztik olav esadim. And he's matstik esadin. What does that mean to be matstik esadin? Literally translated to justify the din, but that's maybe a poor translation. We don't need to justify anything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. Rather, if anything, it means justify it to ourselves, meaning to come to terms with it and understand that everything was done is letoy. Voiman, he says, Riboy no ilomim, harbe chotosi lefonecho. Person says, I have sinned a lot in front of you. And you have not paid back, you have not sought retribution, one in a thousand. That means everything that I've had to go through, if I'm being perfectly honest, it's only a thousandth of what I really deserve. Yirotze milfonecho Hashem Elokeinu shetigdor pirtzeisenu upirtzeis kolam chabeis Yisrael. You should fence in all peritzas, means all averas should be forgiven. Berachamim. Omar Abaye, that no, to the contrary, loy mi bayalei le'ina shlemei mahochi, a person is required not to say that. It's best not to say a tefillah like that. Why? What's wrong with it? Says the Gemara, Domer Abshim Melokish, v'chein tonam eshmei de Rabbi Yosi, Lo'olam al yiftach odom piv l'sotan. A person should never open his mouth to the sotan. What does that mean? A person mustn't open his mouth to the sotan. In English, we call it to tempt fate. But we don't really want to call it tempt fate. We don't believe in fate. But it means you don't want to invoke, as it were, the sotan. And if you say that I've only been paid back 1/1000th of what I really deserve, so it sounds like you're requesting of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam to send me more punishment. I've only had 1/1000th worth. I really deserve much more. We don't want to, chas v'sholom, invoke that. V'omer of Yosef Maikra, what is the pasuk that we learn this from? Shenema kim'at kisdoim hayinu. When it says in the Novi, we're almost like Sodom. This is a pasuk which is written in Yeshaya. And before you know it, Maya Hadaluhu Novi, what did the Novi respond? Shimu Bar Hashem Kitsine Sodom. The next thing you know was that Sodom were upon them. So you see that if you mention Sodom, then the next thing you know is they arrive. So best not mentioned. Therefore, so too over here as well, you don't need to then say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I've done many Averas and I haven't really got enough punishment. That's not what you need to say. If you do that, then you're being Peseach Peh L'Sotan. You're giving, as it were, the Sotan room to get in, as if to say, well, it sounds like he wants more punishment, so let's give him some more. Therefore, that should not be done. Kovru es ameis v'chozru. Says the Gemara, im yecholim lahaschil v'ligmoir es kula im. If they have time to begin Kriya Shema before the Abelim return, and in fact complete all of Kriya Shema, then that's what they should do. Avol perek echod oy posuk echod loy. But merely just to start it, if you have time just to say one perek or a posuk, then you should not do so. V'raminu, we ask Astira, it says, kovru es hameis, v'chozrim yecholim la'aschel v'ligmoir afilu perek echod. It says, mafurish in the Braisa, even if you only have enough time to start and finish one perek, or your posuk echod, then that's okay. So we have a stira. The Gemara says, hochanami ka'ama, you're right. So too, that's what's meant over here as well. Im yecholin la'aschel v'ligmoir afilu perek echod. It doesn't mean you have to be able to complete all of Kriya Shema, even if you can just say one perek, or afilu posuk echod, ad shelo yagiu l'shura, until the Avelim arrive in time for the Shura, then yaschilu, bevim lav lo yaschilu. Don't start a posuk if you won't even be able to finish that very posuk. Says the Gemara Nama Beis Ha'im Din B'Shura, Tana Rabbanan, Shura Haroya Panima Petura. Remember, you have a row of people. It could be 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 people thick. So those panim, those who are the innermost level, patura, because they're the ones who are being menachem aveilim. They're considered being oisik b'mitzvah. The she'ena roya panim chayeves. And those who are on the outside level, it's all very nice, they're standing there, but the oval can't see them anyway. So therefore, they have no exemption. Rabbi Yudaima, haboy machmas ha'ovel peturin, machmas atzmon chayovim. Those who are there, strictly speaking, for the purpose of the oval, to be menachem oval, then they are oisik b'mitzvah. But if somebody is there, machmas atzmon, what does it mean, machmas atzmon? As Rashi explains, they're not interested in being menachem oval, they just want to take a part in the action. It looks like an exciting levaya to be part of. So, but that's not considered to be oisik b'mitzvah. They're not oisik in a mitzvah. They're oisik in self-entertainment.
An exciting levaya?
Well, they see there's action and there's hespedim and it's all, you're right. We should not get excited. We should be moved by levaya. But either way, as Rashi says, clearly there's some people who come just to see the action. So they're not considered to be oisik b'mitzvah and they would have to read Kriya Shema. Omer of Yudomara, remember this is the sugya that we dealt with now for a couple of weeks. Hamoitze kelaim bebigdoi. If somebody finds kelaim in his begodim, poishton afilu b'shuk. He's got to remove his begodim, even if he's standing in the shuk, even though it will mean he has to compromise on his own kavod abrius. My timer, because ein chochma ve'ein tvuna ve'ein eitzo leneged Hashem. There's no chochma, there's no eitzo leneged Hashem. You know, the Briskerov says, do you remember when Yaakov Avinu lays down and he has his terrific dream, the most phenomenal dream of all time, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises him Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises him Eretz Yisrael? What could be a greater dream than that? And remember, he wakes up and he realizes that he just slept in the Mokem HaMikdosh. So he says, I didn't realize this was the Beis HaMikdosh. And Rashi says the famous words, and had I realized, I wouldn't have slept here. So the Briskerov asks, what do you mean, had you realized you wouldn't have slept here? But if you wouldn't have slept here, you would have missed out to the most famous dream in the history of all civilization, in which you were promised Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. So what do you mean you wouldn't have slept here? So what's the Briskerov's answer? This Gemara. Ein chochma ve'ein eitzo ve'ein tevuna neged Hashem. If the halacha says that it shall not be done, then there's no justification. It could be the best dream and the best promise and the wonderful gift. There's no justification. If the halacha says don't sleep in the Mokem HaMikdosh, then you don't sleep in the Mokem HaMikdosh. And had I only known it was the Mokem HaMikdosh, then I never would have slept there. Either way, therefore, if he finds kelaim in his beged, he's got to remove the begodim. Why does he have to remove the begodim? Even though it will be a compromise to kavod habrias, nonetheless, there is no excuse, there's no heter. He cannot be over an issa deraisa. Remember, when you wear kelaim, it's not just an issa which you are over when you initially put on the beged, but rather it is a constant issa. Every moment that you're wearing it, if you're aware, be over an issa.
Oops.
Says the Gemara, Kol Mokem Sheyesh Chilul Hashem. If ever there is Chilul Hashem, Ein Cholkin Kavod LeRav. Finish. We're not Cholik Kavod. We do not accord honor to anybody. It could be the greatest tzaddik in the world. It's too bad. He'll have to take off his begodim because Hakadosh Baruch Hu's honor is at stake. Says the Gemara, Meisle. We have a big kasha. What's the big kasha? Because it says, Kovru es hameis v'chozru, they buried the mace and they came back. And remember, we're talking about koyanim over here. V'lifneim beis drachim achas tohira v'achas tumeo. There is a pure path and a non-pure path. And for some reason, bo b'tohira, bo inimoy tohira. Bo b'tumeo, bo inimoy b'tumeo. Why? Mishum kvaidoi. So if the ovel entered one path, you may follow him. Even if he entered the Tomei path for whatever reason, you may follow him as a Kohen. Why? Imagine if the Ovel would go down a particular path and everybody says, I'm sorry, we cannot join you. You'll have to walk in alone by yourself in his moment, in his hour of need. That can't be. So therefore, the Kohen is allowed to become Tomei. So how can that be? He says, the Gemara, am I? How can you possibly allow the Kohen to become Tomei? Yes, there's Kavod HaBrius of the Ovel at stake. But at the end of the day, Lema ein chochma ve'in tvula neged Hashem. Ein chochma. Cannot do shtick. You cannot become Tomei if that's an Issa, even if Kavod HaBrius is at stake. Says the Gemara, no, this is different. Tir Gemara of Abba, Beis HaPras, which is only Durabon. Remember, a Beis HaPras is a place which has essentially been plowed up. And therefore, essentially, one is allowed to assume that there are no more Kvorim there. But Chazal will worry that maybe, just maybe, there are. So it's only a Chashash Durabonon. If it's only a Chashash Durabonon, then indeed, Kavod HaBrius will take over the Issa Drabonon and it will waive the Issa Drabonon. The Omer Yehuda Mashmul Menapeach Odom Beis HaPras. So we have many proofs that a Beis HaPras is not a place of Tumah Da'iraisa. At worst, it's an issue of Tumah Derabbanan. and if it's only Tuma, the Rabbonon, so then Kavod HaBrios can waive the Issa Drabbonon. So therefore, this is our first principle, and this would seem to be telling us that we make a distinction between an Issa D'Oraisa and an Issa D'Rabbonon. An Issa D'Oraisa cannot be waived for Kavod HaBrios. It sounds like an Issa D'Rabbonon, however, can be waived for Kavod HaBrios. That is the clear distinction we're going to be making. And here, indeed, the Gemara gives another example. Toshma, the Omer of Elazar bat Tzolik, medalgin oyinu al gabi areinoi shel mesim. We used to skip over the coffins of dead people. Likras malchi Yisrael, v'lo likras malchi Yisrael bilvad, omru afilu likras malchi umas ha'olam, she'im yizke yavchim bin malchi Yisrael l'malchi umas ha'olam. So we used to jump over the kvaris, or to be technical, the Aroinois, in order to greet kings, Jewish kings, non-Jewish kings. Now, as we know, if you jump over an Aroin, you become Tommy. And we're talking about Kohenim. It was Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar was a Kohen. Says the Gemara, Amai, Leima, Ein Chochma, Ein Tvuna, Ein Eitzel, L'Neged Hashem. Says the Gemara, once again, it was only a Tumah D'Rabbonon. Why was it only D'Rabbonon? K'D'Rava. As long as the Oroin has a tefach gap, remember we learned the principle of a tefach gap between the mace and the lid of the Oroin, so then the lid of the Oroin is serving as an oil. And that way the tumah is contained inside of the Oroin. And therefore it's choytzeitz. Choytzeitz means it acts as a barrier and the tumah cannot escape. If there is no chalal tefach, then ein chaytz b'fnei ha'tumah. Now, roiva roinois yeshren chalal tefach. Most coffins, you can safely assume, the lid of the coffin is at least a tefach or more of a gap between that lid and the dead body, which means most aroinois, the tumah halachically cannot escape. But the gozru al sheyesh bohem mishum she'ein bohem. However, Chazal made a gzeira midrabbonon. It's not minatayra. Midrabbonon, we are gozer that even those aroinos that do have a gap, but we are concerned there is a minority aroinos that do not have a gap. We don't want there to be confusion. And therefore, Chazal said that you always have to consider as if there's tumah escaping from the Oroin. But at the end of the day, it's only Tumah D'Rabbonon. Why is it only Tumah D'Rabbonon? Because min ha-Torah, the Tumah is contained within the Oroin. So it's only a Gezeira. If it's only a Gezeira D'Rabbonon, says the Gemara, U'mishum kvoid malachim le'gozru bohem B'Rabbonon. Because of kvoid malachim, which is an issue of Kavod HaBrios, therefore, Chazal were not Goyza. So once again, we are reconfirming the rule, both in the case of walking back from the Beis HaKvaros on a Tomei path, and in the case of jumping over the Oroin, because we are only dealing with Tumah D'Rabbonon. Why is there only Tumah D'Rabbonon? The first case is because the land has been plowed up. The second case is because there's a Tefach gap and Tumah Min HaTorah cannot escape. It's only a Gezeira D'Rabbonon. Therefore, because in both cases we are dealing with Tumah D'Rabbonon, for the sake of Kavod HaBrios, that Tumah D'Rabbonon can indeed be waived. So far, we've had two kashas and we've answered them both in the same way. For D'Rabbonons, Kavod HaBrios can waive the Issa. Toshima, Godul Kavod HaBrios, Shedoicha es Loisa Seisha B'Toira. Sounds like it could be doicha loisa same in even an issa doiraisa. Vamai leima in chochma vein tvuna vein etzem eregen Hashem. Tirg mora of Shabbat kamed Rav Kahana. We're talking about belav de loisosur. Talking about the lav of loisosur, which means you have to listen to Chazal. But one moment, achichu aleo, they laughed at him because lav de loisosur is also doiraisa. The very fact that you have to listen to Chazal is doiraisa. Says the Gemara, no. Omar of Kahana, Gavra Rabba Omar Milsa. A great man said something, don't laugh it off. loy sachicho leha. What it means is kol mili derabanan asmechenu alav loy sasur. We're talking about something which essentially is only a derabanan. For example, kriyas megillah. For example, adlokas ner Hanukkah, etc., etc. There's only a mitzvah derabanan, and there is an asmachta, as it were. Chazal leaned on the pasuk of loy sasur. But at the end of the day, it is only an issa or a mitzvah derabanan, and therefore mishum kavoydoi sharu rabanan. So now we have a third time we have applied the same rule. Derabanans can be waived for kavod abrius, dairaisas cannot. Now we get stuck because we're going to find at least two cases where it sounds like even dairaisas can be waived. What are those cases? Toshmav his alam tomehem. It says on occasion you may you may hide yourself from the aveda. Normally you're not allowed to hide. If you see the aveda, it's your duty to pick it up and to restore it to its rightful owner. But there are occasions where you can hide. Pa'amim sha'atom is'alemem u'pa'amim she'enatom is'alemem. Sometimes you cannot hide, and that's obviously the normal, regular case. And sometimes you can hide. When is that? Ha'ketzad im o'ya koyim v'yubes ha'kvaris. Imagine he's a koyim. The aveda is in the Beis HaKvaris, so you are allowed to ignore the aveda. Or he was a Talmud Chacham, and it's not within his kavod, it's non unbecoming for him to go and fetch this aveda and drag it through the street. So therefore we spare him the embarrassment and he can leave the aveda. Or his own personal work is more expensive than the one, the item you're returning. So imagine you return the lost property to its rightful owner, but you then give him $1,000 invoice because you say to him, I have to take the day off work. So it's not worth his while. So mainly you just ignore the aveda. Says the Gemara, that's why it says that on occasion you may hide. What's going on? Am I lema in chochma, vein tvuna, vein eitza leneged Hashem? So why don't we say ein chochma? There's no tricks. Even if it's ein alafich voida, it's too bad. Says the Gemara, no. Shani hasam, over there is different. The chsiv is salam to mehem. Because the Torah clearly spells out, there is a pasuk that clearly tells us that he is allowed to hide himself from the Aveda. So you can't ask, but there's no Chochma Neged Hashem. This is not Neged Hashem, this is with Hashem. Hashem is the one who told us that on occasions like this, you are allowed to hide from the Aveda. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, V'ligmar mino. So why can't we learn from here and make this the general rule? Why are we assuming till now that the general rule is that for doiraisas, you cannot waive the doiraisa? And yet here we have a case of Hashavas Aveda, where we've said that the Torah has clearly stipulated that you may waive the doiraisa. Which doiraisa? The mitzvah Hashavas Aveda for the sake of Kavod Abrius. Why can't that become the general rule? Here we have a precedent. Let that be the general rule. Says the Gemara, no. We cannot extract the halachas of Issa and Heta from halachas of Mamoin loyalfinon. Why? Because the halachas of Mamoin are always considered to be more kal, more lenient, and therefore, even though it's true in the case of Mamoin, yes, we have found a precedent that Kavod Abrius will override the Iraisa, but you cannot prove from over here even to cases of Issa, like Tumah V'Tahara, or Kilayim. Toshma, this was the final case that we dealt with at length. After having extrapolated various halachas from the words at the beginning of the pasuk, i.e. La'aviv, la'imoy, la'achiv, basically we learned a nozir or a nozir koyin or a nozir koyin gadol may become tumei full a meis mitzvah. So what's la'achoy say to teach you? If somebody was going on his way to Shechtes Pesach or to circumcise his son, so you would have thought that he should go back and become Tome, even though he won't then be able to be Makar Karban Pesach. No, he may not become Tome. Oh, if that's the case, Yochel, K'shem Shein Matam Elohem. In the same way as he's not allowed to become Tommy for his own seven relatives, kach einu metame lemeis mitzvah. Perhaps also he shouldn't become Tommy for a meis mitzvah. Tamud loima, that no, he can. V'la'achoysoi. How do you learn it from there? V'la'achoysoi hu de'einu metame. He may not become Tommy to take care of burying his sister. However, avol metame hu lemeis mitzvah. So one second. Here we're having a precedent. And another, for the sake of Korban Pesach, on the one hand, you've got Meis Mitzvah on the other hand, and what are we being told? That he may be Mevatel the Mitzvah of Korban Pesach. Why? To tend to the needs of the Meis Mitzvah. So what happened? How can that be? You see that Kovod Abrius seems to be overriding a Deraisa. Says the Gemara, am I? Why don't we say once again, I'm sorry, I know there's a meis mitzvah waiting, which is certainly an issue of kavod habrios, but you cannot override the deraisa. Says the Gemara once again, no, shani osam deksiv olachoisei. There's different because the Torah specifically writes this extra word, olachoisei. So the Torah itself is clearly telling you, is stipulating that you should become tomei, even at the expense of Korban Pesach. So once again, we have the question, so v'ligmar mino, so why can't we learn from there? Let this become the general rule. To say, no, shev v'al taisa shayni. And that's how we left off with yesterday. Shev v'al taisa, both Pesach and Mila, and for that matter, Ashoras Aveda, what's the common denominator? That all of them are shev v'al taisa. You're not doing an act against the Torah, rather it is a non-act because you are not being makriv your Pesach, or you're not doing Mila, or you're not doing Ashavas Aveda. That's like not doing Shofar or not doing Lulu on Shabbos. Whereas wearing Kilayim in the Shuk, that's not considered not doing something in a passive way, that's an active. And if that's an active act, that cannot possibly overturn a Deraisa. And that is the end of the sugya. So it turns out, in the final analysis, this whole sugya can be summed up in one line. Kovod Abrius, as important as it is, does not allow us to overturn Isurim, with two major exceptions. Number one, Isurei Drabonon. Isurei Drabonon can be overturned for the sake of Kovod Abrius, like a tumah nebeis hapras, or in the case of the aroinos, etc., etc., etc. Or it can even overturn a deiraisa if you're dealing with a deiraisa which is shev v'al taisa. What shev v'al taisa? So, for example, not doing Pesach, or not doing Mila, or not doing Ashoras Aveda, which is like not doing shofar or lulav. That's always considered less severe, as opposed to putting kilayim on, that's much more chomor, and as much more chomor that cannot overturn a deraisa.
So how do we paskin today? If a person finds out while he's on the street in the shuk that he is wearing kilayim, do we paskin today that he has to take those clothes off?
Yes, he should. And the truth is, today it's even more chomor. And I explain to you why, because in the times of the Gemara, it's clear in many places, they didn't get dressed in the way that we do. With an undershirt, and then another tzitzit, and then a shirt, and then a sweater, and then a jacket, and then a coat. We were all shmoina begadim, we're all walking around, and the Kohen Gadol. In the times of Chazal, it was quite clear they had one cloak, and that was it. So to take it off would be a serious issue of Kavod Abrius. If you're walking down the street and you suddenly realize your raincoat has shatness in it, take it off. I think it's pretty safe to say, doesn't even mean a compromise on Kavod HaBris. Now, essentially, we've come to the end of the sugya. There is a very, very important point which needs to be pondered, which we didn't really discuss. And that is, I understand and I appreciate that when you put on a beged, which has got kilayim, that's considered an active act. That's not passive, that's active. But we're talking about after having done so already. He's now wearing the beged. Wearing a beged, I'm not talking about putting it on initially. Wearing a beged, is that considered active or passive? He's now wearing his beged. It's true he's walking around, but he could be sitting down for the same price. The actual wearing of the beged, I would have thought, is not considered to be active. That's considered passive. So why are we telling him that he's got to take off his beged? Because Kavod HaBris has to be waived because of an Issa D'Oraisa of Shatnas. Yet we were told that even an Issa D'Oraisa can be overturned as long as it's B'Sheva Al Ta'ase. Why is this not considered Sheva Al Ta'ase? Wearing a beged does not entail any active Maisa. It's now passive, it's on me. Even if I go to sleep and do nothing, it's also on me. So why is the Gemara saying this is Asr? Rav Nachum, what would you suggest? Demuted.
Because it's a low sase to wear a kilayim.
But the Gemara did not distinguish, although somebody did ask last week, the Gemara did not distinguish between a low sase and an ase.
That's really what it is. That's really what it is, for the most part.
In most cases, you're right. In most cases, a low sase will necessarily entail an act. So to eat and eat a piece of nevela, to eat a piece of chazir, you write as kumba asei. And a mitzvah, not to fulfill a mitzvah, is a sheval taisa. But l'chayra, here I have a case of, even though it's a lo isase, but at the end of the day, there's no act. It's not a kumba asei. If we were dealing with putting on the beged in the first place, then I understand. That's an active maisa biyodayim. But this is not a Maisa B'Yodayim. The Maisa B'Yodayim was done this morning when I put the beged on when I got dressed. It's now 10 hours later in the middle of the evening when I detected the shatness. Why is that considered Kumba Ase? I'll ask you another question, which is really the same question. We know that if you are over a Loisa Ase in the Torah, you get Malkus. There are exceptions. One of the exceptions is a lav she'ein boi maisa. If it is a lav that does not have a maisa, there's no malchus. What would be an example? Having chometz in your house. The Torah says, loy yeroe lecho. No chometz should be seen or found in your house. Now, if you have chometz in your house, you have been over an issur d'oraisa, but we would all agree that's a lav she'ein boi maisa. I didn't do an act, it's just sitting there. Under those circumstances, even though I'm over an Issa D'Oraisa, there are no malchus. So what happens if somebody put on a beged, and then somebody comes up to him and says, do you know, you realize you've got shatness in your beged, take it off right now, and he says no. Does he get malchus? Or would we say, no, now it's a lav she'ein boi maisa. Initially, when he put it on, he didn't realize that he's got malchus, that he's got shatness. So he obviously can't get malchus for originally putting it on. But now that he knows about it and he's over bemazed, so he's definitely a huge rosha, no question about it. But is this a lav she'ein boi maisa or a lav she'yesh boi maisa? And the answer to both questions is, and Mefarshim explain, a tremendous chiddush. Because it came about initially through a maisa, by getting dressed, so all of the follow-up is considered an extension of that maisa. And if it's continued, a considered extension of the Maisa, that's why, yes, he would get Malkus. And that's why, yes, it's considered a Kum Va'aseh. So even though if you take a photograph of him, it looks like he's stationary, he's passive, he's not doing anything, we nonetheless consider it to be a Lav Shiyesh Boi Maisa. We consider it to be a Kum Va'aseh. And that's why it cannot possibly be waived by Kovod Habrias. Okay, I think we're running out of time. Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow we'll start on the new sugya, Mitzvah Hashem.